A message on my heart that I believe will be a great blessing to you. And it's just a simple message, but it's called How to Abound with Blessings. How to Abound with Blessings. How many of you could use a few more blessings in your life? And you know, the Bible doesn't just want you to be blessed, but He wants you to abound in blessings. It's one thing to be blessed, isn't it, Doc? It's another thing to abound in blessings. And the Lord wants me to share with you how you can make sure that in your life and into the future, into this next season that we're going into, that you will abound in blessings. So we're going to use one scripture to start off tonight, and that's found in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20, this gives us the answer right off the bat on how to make sure that you will abound in blessings. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20 says very simply, a faithful man shall, no question about it, a faithful man shall abound in blessings. I'm going to say that again. God's Word said it. A faithful man, no question about it. This is God's Word speaking to your heart. A faithful man, no question about it, shall abound in blessings. And when it says blessings, you can go ahead and fill in the blank on that. Whatever God can do in your life that'll be a blessing in your life, that's exactly what God wants to do. But it says the key there for you to abound in blessings is to make sure that you're qualifying yourself, and that is by being faithful. Amen, by being faithful. Now in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, we're going to look at what faithfulness is all about real quickly. But in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, it asks a question. It says, a faithful man who can find? And in the Good News Translation, it says, everyone talks about how loyal and faithful that he is. But try and find someone who really is faithful. Well, I don't have to look far. I'm looking at a whole church filled with faithful people. Amen? Tell your neighbor, you're faithful, I can tell it. Amen. And tell one on the other side, you're faithful too, I can tell it. Amen. So we're starting this off on the right footing. Amen. We're all faithful, so we're all qualified to abound in blessings. Well, faithfulness is what you value as important and you commit to it. If you value something as important and you commit to it, you're going to be faithful to that. And the best example that I could think of was how Pastor always talks about his Boston Red Sox. Amen. Did you know he is so faithful to the Boston Red Sox that he'll take vacation with his wife? And haven't you been to Minnesota?
I haven't yet.
He hasn't been. He hasn't been to the promised land, but he's going to get there. Watch him play the Twins and probably beat them, but that's another story anyway. But the point of it is that probably every one of you that are in this audience, you can think of your favorite sports team. It might be a high school team or a college team or a professional team. And you know, if someone came up to you and says, what team do you like? Every one of you has that team that you like and you know it. And what if they said to you, I'll give you $500 if you'll drop your loyalty to that team and go ahead and pull for my team? Well, if you're a faithful one, there's no amount of money that could do that. You know, I moved down here over 26 years ago, and I was raised in Minnesota. The saying up there is, if you're from Minnesota, raise your right ski, not your right hand, because it's pretty cold most of the time. But I've been down here all these years, and I can tell you, I love Mississippi, and I love the people of Mississippi. And if Jackson State is playing someone, I'm pulling for Jackson State. If Southern's playing someone, I'm pulling for Southern. If Mississippi State is playing someone, I'm pulling for them. If Ole Miss is playing for someone, I'm pulling for them. But there is a place where I draw the line. If they ever play someone from Minnesota. See, what I'm saying is that when you're really committed to someone, even a sports team, when you're for that team, you'll do whatever you can. You'll spend money, you'll buy the attire, you'll deck out your house, probably a room in your house, to make sure that you let those people know and everybody else that you're gung-ho, you are faithful to that team, and you'll buy the tickets and you'll support them and you'll brag on them and you'll be one of their best salespersons, because that's what a person does when they're faithful like that. And, you know, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, It's long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. It's faith, meekness, and temperance. And that word faith there in this context is the Greek word pistis. And that Greek word there is translated every single time faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness means to be in good faith or fidelity. It means reliable, and it also means that you're trustworthy. Did you know that there's a lot of companies around the United States that periodically will throw great big parties and they'll bring in their top workers? And you know what they'll do? They'll reward them. And you know what they reward those employees for? They reward them for faithfulness. It's the one that's getting there a little bit early and staying a little bit late and going a little bit above and beyond the norm to let that company know that they're valuable and that they need them and they can't do without them. And if the company runs into difficult times and they need to cut the employee, who are they going to cut? Are they going to cut the one that's unfaithful? Yes, they are. But the one that's faithful, they'll figure out a way to keep them on the payroll. Amen. So companies reward people for that. I've been to a couple of times where Nikki's gotten rewarded in her nursing over there at St. Dominic because of her faithfulness. She would never tell you this, and I don't mind bragging on my wife. Out of 2,000 employees, she's had her picture on the wall for Employee of the Month. That's a big deal. She would never tell you that, but I can go to bragging on my wife. Amen. If you're going to marry, do like I did. Marry up. Glory to God. Don't be foolish. And then I got some dogs. I got two dogs. One's a Peek-a-Poo Pom and the other one's a Pomeranian. And these things, they both think they're junkyard dogs. Amen. We don't have snakes or any kind of critters in our backyard because those two dogs, they think it's their mission, Jesse. They think it's their mission to make sure that no snakes or critters can get in our backyard. The other day, our side gate was open. There was a dog that was in there about that big. His head was bigger than either one of my dogs, probably both of them put together, and they were barking like crazy. And I opened up the back door, and I looked, and my little bitty dogs, they were running that big dog right back out the gate from whence it came. And you know why they did that? Because those little rascals are faithful. Amen. They bark a little bit too much, but, you know, it's kind of comical. We got a trick for that too, don't we, honey? You know what it is? How many of you have barking dogs that like to bark at night? How many of you want to cure your sleep problem with that? Here's the key. You want some wisdom? Get a box fan like we got and put it on at night. Glory, just put it on number one. But that dog can bark and it won't bother you if you'll just learn that little trick. We're talking about faithfulness. I can remember, I'm going to give my age away a little bit, but years ago, my first car that I had was a 49 Chevy. It was green. Amen. It was three in the tree. Some of you older folks, you know what that is. First, second, and third. It also had a choke on the dash, and you could pull that choke. It also had a push button. Now, you guys know if you got a push button car, you got an expensive car. They paid a lot of money to put that button back on the dash. Back then, if you had a button on the dash, you didn't have a very good car, but I didn't know any better. But that old 49 Chevy that I had, all my buddies would laugh at that 49 Chevy because it didn't look that good. In fact, when I got it into third gear, I'd have to hold the thing in gear. That's crazy when you think about it, but I would do it because I wanted to get to school. But guess what? When it got to be 20 below, guess whose car was the only one that would start? They didn't make fun of me then. They said, we're going to call Dean up because we know that old 49 Chevy, old faithful, it's going to start. And it did every time. I'd take that choke and I'd choke the fool out of it, Rudolph, till that thing had worked. Push the button, that thing would start, and I'd say, glory to God, you might be making fun of that little thing, but it's a faithful old Chevy, and it got me to school, loaded up with the front and back seat with all my buddies in it. But I'll tell you what, they didn't make fun of me when that old Chevy would start. Doc, that thing started all the time because it was faithful to me. It produced for me. You say, well, what does that have to do with God? It's got a lot to do with God. In Psalm 33 and verse 4 in the NIV, the Bible says, for the word of the Lord is right and true. It says that the Lord is faithful in all that He does. You know, we're supposed to be imitators of God as dear children, right? When it talks about God, it says that God is faithful in all that He does. Think about that. I said, Lord, how are you faithful? He said, well, you know, you've read the Bible for a long time. He's faithful to love you. Amen. When you're good, He loves you. When you're bad, He loves you. When you're acting ugly, He still loves you. When you're in, He loves you. When you're out, He loves you. When you're up, He loves you. When you're down, He still loves you. When you're doing everything right, He loves you. When you're messing up big time, He still loves you. Amen. That's faithful. And then the Lord spoke to me and He says, what about grace? Amazing grace. The Bible says when you're having a difficult time, it says don't run away from God. It says run boldly to the throne of grace, that you can tap into God's grace and tap into His mercy and find that help in the time of need. Why? Because God's grace is there for you. When you think you can't do it, you can call on God's grace and you'll have an ability that comes on you to do stuff that you didn't ever think you could do. Why? Because His grace is waiting on you. It's amazing grace. Amen. Eugene, he used to sing it wrong years ago. He'd sing Amazing Grapes, how sweet and round. He didn't have his theology right, but they taste good anyway. And then what about His mercy? What about God's mercy? He is faithful to show you His mercy. Have you ever been in a place, in a situation where something just hit you and you weren't expecting it at all? And you didn't even have time to get theologically correct. All you could do is just throw your hands up in the air and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And mercy came down and mercy met you in that situation. And mercy caused you to walk through that situation in a way that you couldn't have done it by your own strength or your own power. Psalm 136. I read it before I came to church tonight. In Psalm 136, the Bible says 26 times right in a row, praise the Lord because His mercy endures forever. Now, if God wasn't faithful, just think about it. You might do some silly thing and just say, now, Father, I need you to do what your word says. Your word says if I miss it, that you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I just need a little bit of love and forgiveness today. And the Lord looked at you and says, you know what? I was thinking about doing that, but you know, today just isn't the day. I think I'll forgive you next week, but not now. No, aren't you glad that when you need love, He's got love for you right now. When you need mercy, He's got it for you right now. When you need grace, that amazing grace is for you right now. He is consistent. He is dependable. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that? Hallelujah. He's consistent. He's dependable. He's reliable. You know, from a natural standpoint, we want to try to do what MC Hammer, you know, MC Hammer used to say years ago, break it down. You know, he would kind of break it down a different way. But how many know when it comes to God's Word, we got to learn to break it down in a way where we're connecting with it. So here's one of the examples that he gave to me. You know, suppose that your wife, or one, some of you ladies that are here, if you're single, you took a notion to clean out your refrigerator. So you took out all the stuff that was in there and the stuff that you forgot that was in there, and you piled it into your garbage can, and you take it out into the garage, and you know that every Monday, here comes the garbage man, and he's going to collect. Well, you get it out there, and you're ready to take it out, and Monday comes, and Monday goes, and the garbage man doesn't show up. Now we got a problem. What's the problem? Where are you, garbage man? You expect the garbage man to collect it. That's being faithful. How many of you have ordered stuff for Christmas that you expect to come either through the mail or UPS or FedEx? Well, three of you do. Amen. But you know what I'm talking about. If you've ordered something or you got something coming in the mail, some of you might be a retirement check or whatever, you know that on a certain day it's going to come. You're right out there looking at that mailbox and you're expecting it to come on that day because it always comes on that day. What happens if it doesn't come on that day? Some of you lose your joy. I hope not, but if you're expecting the mailman to mail that thing and get it there to you on time, you expect it to be there on time. That's faithfulness. Is that not right? Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. What about if you have an appliance at your home, such as your refrigerator, or your freezer and that thing breaks down. Well, if you're smart, you'll go to the Better Business Bureau or check on them and you'll get somebody that can go in there and fix the thing and fix it right. Amen. You don't want someone there that's fixing whatever needs to get fixed that don't know what they're doing about fixing it. You want them to go in there and fix the thing and fix it right and then stand by it. Isn't that right? Well, that's someone that needs to be faithful. So here's the point. If you expect the garbage man to collect it, and you expect the mailman to deliver it, and you expect the repairman to fix it, then here's a question to you and me. We need to ask ourselves this sometimes. If we expect others to come through for us and be faithful, here's the question. Can they count on you? Oh, it's getting quiet in this church house now. Come on, we're talking about faithfulness. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Pastor talked about this, you know, in the past couple of weeks, but in Matthew 25, when it talked about the wealthy man, it said he went away and he gave talents to these fellows, and he said, I'm going to come back and see how you're doing in a little while. He came back, and two of the three, they did a good job. They took what they had, and they made a profit out of it. Isn't that right? They took what they had, and Jesus had a response to that. He said to them, he said in verse 21 of Matthew 25, he says, well done, thou good and faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful. That's what we want to hear at the end of this life. Amen? We want to hear Jesus say to us, well done. That's not how he likes steaks, by the way. Some of you might think that. Anyway, you'll get that on the way home. Steaks or burgers, well done. Anyway, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He says, you've been willing to do the few things that I've asked you to do. Now I'm going to make you ruler over much. Do a few things right, ruler over much. Sounds like a good deal to me. And then he says, enter thou in to the joy of the Lord and receive your rewards. Why? Because you've been faithful. You've been faithful. Glory to God. You know, years ago when I went to Rhema, Pastor Hagin, he preached a message. And you know, we want to be able to depend on people, but we want to have people be able to depend on us too. And you know, when we think about dependability and faithfulness, I'm going to be straight up with you. No matter how good some of you can sing in here, there's going to be somebody that can come along sometime and they might be able to sing just a little bit better. And no matter how some of you can cook, there's going to be somebody, that just might be able to come along and, you know, when you thought you've tasted food made about the best you could ever have it taste, there might be somebody that comes along that can really, really knock it out of the park with everything they make. And so when I saw Pastor Hagin, he preached this message. And he said, you might not be the smartest, you might not be the most creative, you might not be the sharpest pencil in the holder. Amen. But are you using what you got? And so he gave out pieces of a puzzle. And he said, you know, a puzzle has to have every piece in place in order for it to work. That puzzle can be beautiful, but if there's one piece missing, the puzzle is not complete. And he says, there's sometimes when you think that little part that you've got to play is not that big of a deal, but I'm here to tell you, yes, it is. It's a big deal whether you bring your supply or not, because it's very important. You know, here's the thing. God is not a God that puts big demands on us. All he asks us to do is use what you've got. Amen. If you just give to the Lord what you've got, that little boy with the five loaves and two fish, he knew a little bit about that, didn't he? He gave what he had and God blessed it and multiplied it. Now, here's the rest of the seminar I'm going to give you. Can I have five more minutes? Can I have a hand if I can have five more? Let's see, that's 5, 10, 15. We're going to be here all night. Glory to God. No, I want to give you, if you're taking notes, please take notes, because these are real practical things and I'm going to walk down through them real quickly. But I'm going to tell you how to excel in faithfulness. 8 things on excelling in faithfulness. Remember, a faithful person will abound in blessings. You may have to get this CD and listen to it. But I'm going to teach you how to excel in your faithfulness. First of all, is to keep your word. Amen. It's to keep your word. In Ecclesiastes 5:5, it says it's better not to vow than to vow and not fulfill it. Amen. Say this with me. Say, be legit.
Be legit.
Don't overcommit.
Don't overcommit.
Say that again. Be legit.
Be legit.
Don't overcommit. See, all you people that I'm talking to, you are all so nice, and you're such good people, and you're so helpful, and you're so sweet, and you're so giving of yourselves, and you just want to bless folks. And so when people come up to you, they'll say, "Brother, sister, would you do that for me?" And you know, in your heart of hearts, it's like this, but they're looking right at you. So you're going like this, but on the inside you're going like this. And the thing is be legit, man. They would respect you more for being straight up with them and tell them, "You know what, I would love to do that, but I just don't have the time." Now, that's not an excuse to not try to help them if you can, but by the same token, make sure that you keep your word, because that's part of being a faithful person. Can you say amen? Be legit, don't overcommit. Next thing, and we're not going to spend time on this, but real quickly, to honor your marriage, to honor it. Marriage is honorable, it says in Hebrews 13:4. Other than the Lord, your mate should be the next one on the line that you just give yourself to, you love and commit to, and you give him your most faithful time that you can. Then the next thing, and this is kind of redundant a little quickly, but it says to use your talents. In other words, do what you can do. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of us should use whatever gift that he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in various forms. Then the next one real quickly is make the most of your time. Make the most of your time. And you know, every one of us get 168 hours per week. That's all we get. 168 hours per week. And here's the thing about life. Here's the thing about life, and sometimes people don't think about this, but this is the thing about life. You get no do-overs. This gig you're doing right now, you're doing this gig one time, and that's all you get. You're doing this gig one time, so do your best to do it right. Can you say amen? Make the most of your time. Ephesians 5:15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Then the next one, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but this one is very important, and that is to stand by your friends. Amen. Stand by your friends. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I will just make this statement that I can remember years ago, and I know pastors talked about this a number of times, but back in my days at Rhema, of all the people that were there, his dad was just connected to me in my heart and just a dear, dear friend. And I came down here after having my own church up north, and we were doing a lot of good things and having a lot of success with it. But I came down here because I felt like the Lord had called me here to be part of this church and this ministry. And so when he went home to be with the Lord suddenly, we were going through some difficult times. It was uncharted waters, and I could see there was a lot of unsettledness going on in the church and in the ministry. And I could tell that. I could tell that a lot of people's feet were just kind of getting happy, and they weren't quite settled in where they were at in their faith. And I told Nikki one day, I said, when I preach on this next Sunday night, I'm going to have you do something with me. And she said, what's that? And I said, I'm going to have you stand right next to me. And I remember in the old church standing up on a Sunday night, and I said, Nikki, stand right here by me. And we looked out. We looked out over the congregation. This was long before we got here. And I said, now get a good look at these faces right here. Take a good look at these faces, because we're staying by the vision. I said, you know, it may come to pass in a different way than we all thought. And I said, these are not easy waters for any of us, but we believe we're called here, so get a good look, because we're going to be here. We're going to be here for you. We're going to be here for the Lord. We're going to see this thing out. Glory be to God. And look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. And when I get to heaven, the only thing I'll have to do first on my agenda is chew out his dad for running a little bit ahead of me. Other than that, we're good to go. We'll have fun. Then, you know, the next one is quickly live to give. John 3:16, God so loved that he gave. Pastor's been doing a great job about ministering along those things. Luke 16:11, it says, Jesus said, if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, then who's going to trust you with real riches? Next one, and this is one where it's a challenge to everybody here, but do your best at work. Amen. Do your best at work. Why? Because we are to be living epistles of the living Christ that are read and known of all men. Amen. The Bible says in Colossians 3:23 that whatever you do, hallelujah, whatever you do, it doesn't matter if you're a railroad guy or if you're an electrician or you're a plumber or a carpenter or you're a lawyer or a doctor or whatever you are, whatever your job is, whatever your job description is, you need to know in your heart that you're doing it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. You're doing it for Jesus. Amen? You're doing it for Jesus. Listen, He did His best for you. I mean, He went all the way to the cross, all the way to the grave, and rose up again. And did you know that even when He got to heaven, He didn't stop thinking about you? And I've said this many times when I've preached. Did you know when Jesus ascended on high and He sat down at the right hand of the Father, you know what He began to do and He's never stopped? The Bible says He's seated at the right hand of the Father where He's ever living to make intercession for you. That ought to make you shout, glory to God. The Word says He will perfect that which concerns you. You know why you're going to make it? Because He's praying for you. You know why your success is going to come? Because He's praying for you. You know why you're going to go through every situation, no matter how difficult? Because He's praying for you. If Jesus is praying for you, you got it made. Amen. And then the last thing that I want to say here tonight is, and tell your neighbor, blessed are the short-winded. They'll be invited back. Amen. Commit yourself to the local church. Amen. Romans 12:5 says, no, whoever has that call, that might be the Father. You better go ahead and answer that. It might be important. Romans 12:5, it says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. In other words, we need each other, and God made it that way. The example that I want to give you is this, and I hope this sticks with you. There's people all the time that are looking for the right church, looking for the right ministry. And I use this example. There was a little boy, and he said, Daddy, what's the big deal about church? What's the big deal about committing to a good local church? He says, I just don't understand that. Why do we need to do that? He said, son, it's important, and let me teach you how to do that. So he told his son, he says, now I want you to go out the back door there and go over there by those trees and get you a stick. So his little boy ran out the back door, got the stick, came in the back door. He says, now, son, he says, let me see that stick. And he took the stick and he broke it just like that. He says, now, was that hard, son? And he said, no, that wasn't hard at all, Daddy. You just broke it like that. He says, okay, son, now go back out in the woods again and get all the sticks that you can get in your two little hands. So the little boy runs back out there. He's out there for quite a little bit of a longer amount of time at that time. He comes back in and he's got quite a few sticks, just like this. And his daddy reaches into his pocket and he pulls out two shoestrings. And he tied one shoestring around one side of the little bundle and another one around the other. And he handed the bundle back to his boy and he says, now boy, see if you can break that. And his boy was banging it and twisting it and turning it and doing everything he could. And finally, he just got frustrated and he says, Daddy, I can't break it. He says, that's right, son, and that's the way it is. That's the reason why you need the church. He said, who would know that better than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? The threefold cord is not quickly broken. He says, if you're like a lone ranger out there on your own, you're vulnerable and you can be broken and you can be had, and the enemy can run you down and take care of you in a heartbeat. But if you get around people of like precious faith, just like iron sharpens iron, a man will sharpen the countenance of his friend. That's why we're here tonight, to be sharpened. Amen. And I just want to end by saying this. Remember that. Proverbs 28 and 20. A faithful man shall, no question about it, abound with blessings. That's the heart of the Lord for you. He wants you to abound in blessings. All you got to do is be faithful. Remember to do your part, just like that piece of the puzzle. Do what you can do for the Lord and do it with all your heart. And watch God bless you. In this season we're coming into, I believe this church is going to be known. It's already known as this, but it's going to come up another notch to where we have the most faithful people in all of Mississippi coming right here. And it's just going to keep on getting stronger and stronger because God wants you all to abound in blessings. Amen? Amen. Amen. You're going to receive that word tonight? Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for these precious ones that came tonight, Lord, to receive Your word. Father, I thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name, that, Father God, every person that's here is precious to You. And Lord, you want them to be blessed. I know you do, because your word says that if they're faithful, they'll abound in blessings. And I just thank you, Lord, for each one that's here, that as they determine in their heart to follow the example of Jesus, that they're going to see, Lord God, that that's going to cause blessings to come to them in every area of their life like they've never dreamed about or even thought of. Because, Father, we know that Ephesians 3:20 says that you are a God that delights to do exceeding abundantly above all that we would ever dare ask, hope, think, or even desire, infinitely beyond our wildest expectations, according to your power that's working so mightily within us. So, Lord, I thank you that every person here is going to determine in their heart, I'm going to be faithful, Father. I'm going to be faithful just like you are. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to yield myself to you every day, and I'm going to watch you show up and show out, because as pastors already taught us so many times, that if God can get it through us, he'll get it to us every single time. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are in that time and that season in our life and in our ministry where you're going to show out like never before. And we're going to see, Father God, that in the days to come, that as you've always been faithful to us, Lord, we're going to be the kind of people that people see in our families and in our job places and wherever we go, that they can look at us and say, look at the blessings that are coming to that person. What in the world is going on with them? And we'll be able to look them in the eye and say, it's because our God honors his word. And he's always faithful. He's always faithful. And that's what I want to be, is always known as a faithful one. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and no one looking around, the whole reason why we're in here is to make sure that every person in here has a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that's why the Lord is speaking to your heart right now. He wants to make sure that when you leave this place, you'll leave here having a relationship with him. So if you've never made Jesus the Lord of their life, would you just lift your hand up wherever you might be? We want to make sure that everybody in here is saved and on their way to heaven. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, it looks like everybody's saved. Glory to God. You can go ahead and lift your heads up. Let's just give the Lord a praise tonight. Amen.